course to finish our series, The Wild Beasts After Our Children. Before I get into the message tonight, I want y'all to know that everything that I've said, including this message I'll be talking about tonight, is not a judgment on each and every one of you here tonight. But especially tonight, because some of the things that I'm going to be talking about, some of y'all may have done, some of y'all may have considered, but I'm going to tell you, these things will not damn your soul to hell. Okay? So I don't want you to think that Brother Dave is judging you and then going to judge you to hell because of these things. I'm not the judge. Right? Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. When he died for our sins, he died for our sins, past, present, resurrected. He didn't only die for past sins, but our future sins, we're in less. Because I'm going to tell you what, as long as we're on this earth, we will sin. So I want you to pray for me tonight. I don't want you to get upset on the things I have to say. But I think it's important that we warn our children. And again, I've been talking about the wild beasts after our children. And us as parents can train our children to look for these things. But as also, we can train our children on the right way to manage money. Okay? This is going to have to do with some of this, of saving money. And do with a little bit of giving God 10%, which we need to, right? We should. Let me back that up. We don't need to. We should do it out of a cheerful heart. Amen? And give to the Lord's work. But when I talk on these things tonight, I want you to think about ways we can show our kids and our teenagers there's a better way. Put money to get you to decide to do these things. Turn with me to Leviticus 26. Again, this is we're concluding our series on the wild beasts after our children. Imagine what those two kids are going to face for the rest of their life. That is something they'll never forget. See, that's the kind of beast that's after our children. Verse 21 is, walk contrary to me and will not hearken unto me. I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle, make you even number, and your highways shall be desolate. Father in heaven, I need your help tonight. Lord, I'm not here to judge any person or anybody here tonight, but Lord, I want them to know that what I say, I'm saying out of love. But I'm also saying that we need to teach our children to, Lord, live more for you. Because, Lord, that's the goal of this whole scenario here, the whole series I've been preaching. So, God, as I conclude this and then lay out the goals for the parents here, I pray, Father, that you help us. God, we love you because you first loved us. We thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you have brought here, Lord, and it's all of you. It's all of you, Lord. We give you glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We have covered lot of topics over the last few months on the theme calling our children. The topics we talked about were abortion, alcohol, attitude, broken homes, child abuse, the coronavirus scare, drugs, depression, education. I'm going to stop right here for a second. I don't know if you know or not, but Mark Robinson, this week, he's the lieutenant governor for North Carolina, the first black lieutenant governor. And I tell you what, I appreciate him. He's a Christian. Brother Anthony and me had the privilege of meeting Brother Robinson. And I tell you, he has a great testimony, but the liberal media has labeled him and come after him and attacked him because the public education is now trying to decide to make social studies to show that the United States was a racist nation. Faith like I got a problem with that. And Governor, I'm sorry, Brother Mark Robinson, the Lieutenant Governor, has stood up and denounced it. And WRL has come out to label him almost as a racist, has depicted him with a hood on with an elephant's face, representing the GOP and representing racism. I'm going to tell you what, people, I've got a problem on that. Jesus said they persecute me, they persecute you also. They will persecute you, lift them up in your prayers, keep them in your prayers. He makes great godly man. Brother Robinson, our church is praying for you. I'm praying for you. God bless you, brother. Satan will come in and attack you from wherever direction he can attack you from. But we're going to pray that God put a hedge of protection around you, brother. Talking about education, entertainment, the false religion and doctrine, games, other sexuality, kidnappers, news and publications, the cold racism, social media, unaccountability last week. Tonight, I'm just going to preach on worldly fads. Okay, worldly fads. And you'll see that all around as you go to different places. Now again, this will not damn your soul to hell. But people, we need to warn our children, and some of the things I'm going to give you is the reason we need to warn our children, okay? Kids, teenagers, and most young adults have the need to feel wanted or accepted. I believe even older adults can say that. They will go out of their way to look cool or hip. Tattoos and body piercings are becoming more and more the social norm. I remember during my childhood years, the only tattoos seen were on veterans and motorcycle riders. Again, I'm not judging people with tattoos. I don't want y'all to take this way, okay? One of the things that we have done in our past life, I mean, before our past life, but before we were born, again, as Christians, we stick with it. That's one of the things, tattoos. But I want y'all to know I'm not preaching as a thing that saying tattoos or all right is a sin that's going to damn your soul to hell. Again, I am saying that we need to teach our young people to be more responsible with their money. And I believe one of these things that are happening is the way we're trying to look like the world, okay? I've met some good world people with tattoos. I've met a lot of saved people with tattoos. I have friends with tattoos. In fact, I had the chance to get a tattoo back when I was stationed at Myrtle Beach back in the late 80s, early 90s. I had friends went to get tattoos, and they asked me, "Hey, you gonna come on and get a tattoo?" And I remember saying this, "No, God, I'm not a walking billboard for anybody." Now, I think that as Christians, we need to be a walking billboard for Christ. Amen. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. We'll say something. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Again, this is God talking to the children of Israel. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Y'all see what I'm saying? Or do you see what God's saying here? Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord.
People who have been proven that some tattoo ink has the same hardcore ingredients used in printing and car paint. Chemicals that cause cancer contain pigments like mercury, cadmium, lead, and arsenic. You go anywhere nowadays, you can see tattoos covering. I've seen whole necks covered with tattoos. Arms, legs, et cetera, et cetera. There's even people out there with full body tattoos. I mean, from the tip of their head to their toes. Even some more now, you can go anywhere and you see more and more women covered with these. Based on further surveys, between 0.5 and 0.6% of people with a tattoo experience infectious complications. This is one of the reasons I'm warning y'all. In the U.S., each state has its own rules and regulations governing tattoo shops, but the ink itself isn't really regulated. Not only can it be a health risk, but it can cost lots of money. Listen to this. A national average cost of a tattoo is $250. Minimum cost is $30. Maximum cost is $4,000. And the average range is $150 to $450 for a tattoo. You get up to 6 hours worth of tattoos in a day, expect to pay $1,000 or more. People, I think there's a better way we can teach our children that.
Amen.
Spend money, save money. Amen.
Amen.
Body piercings are another form that the word is going for. I've seen thousands of people with nose rings, piercing of the lip, eyebrows, the earlobes with a big hook. So forth. I've seen so many people that had so many piercings that looked like a walking tackle box. Don't walk by a magic. If the equipment used to do the piercing is contaminated with infectious blood, you can contact various blood-borne diseases such as hepatitis B, tetanus, and HIV. Tattoos and body piercings provide an opening in the skin that may allow germs to enter your body and cause infections, which in turn can lead to sepsis. The price of piercings range from $30 on the lower end to $75 on the upper end. In most cases, you can expect to pay $40 to $50 for the piercings alone. Jewelry will cost extra. World is bad. I'll tell you this, when I was in high school, one of the bad things coming out is men having earrings. I don't know if y'all remember that. This is back there in around the MTV generation that I call it. Rock and roll was big, and a lot of your rock stars had that ear piercing. And we had the young people show up church. Well, my dad pastored that with ear piercings. Now, I remember my dad sitting down and talking to me and my brothers. And I'll never forget his words. Boys, you come home with your ear pierced, I'm going to jerk it out after jerk the whole ear off. To this day, I've never had my ears pierced. Never got the tattoo. Because I had a father who loved me so much to tell me, son, you're a man, you need to look like a man, you need to act like a man. Saggy pants. I can't go anywhere nowadays where pants ain't around their kneecaps. I'm going to say this once. Men, boys, pull your pants up. Be a man.
Amen.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard this. That started in prison. And when it started in prison, it was a call for an advertisement that they were gay. and they were ready for something. His peaky pants tore up. Young men act like men. I can tell you, if I was a person looking to hire young men for a job, I definitely wouldn't want somebody to come in with sagging pants. If a person came in to work in my house, I wouldn't want them to come in with sagging pants. Amen. Body branding. Human branding or stigmatizing is the process by which a mark is burned into the skin of a living person with intention of leaving a permanent scar, like branding cattle. That has come along the past few years. Some of the physical effects can be infections, metal poisoning caused by improper tools, or permanent nerve damage. I couldn't find an estimate cost on this, but I can say it's probably very expensive. And I believe medical professionals should tell you what the human body can occur after a surgery. And that's what this is. This is a surgery burn. Now, the reason I have given you all this series, because I wanted to warn you, cause you what is out there. And I could go on and on and on about different things, but people, you get the message. They're wild beasts after our children. Yes, we younger adults. But if we warn our kids now, we'll have a leg up on the danger zone. I'm glad that my parents told me not to play in the road at an early age instead of waiting for me to be out there in the road playing my big old bus coming over the hill right on top of me telling me to get out of the road. Amen. Can you imagine my dad all of a sudden seeing me out there in the road and a Kenworth tractor trailer popping on the hill? Now, son, let me tell you the dangers about playing in the road. You might get hit by a car, you might get hit by a truck, this and that. You need to stay in the yard and you. By the time you got the first 5 words out of his mouth, I'd probably get my truck. So with this in mind, we need to warn our kids of the dangers that's out there. And like I said, what I just said a while ago, I'm not judging anybody. Like I said, I have friends with tattoos, other Christians with tattoos. But I believe there's a better way to spend money. Amen. So what are some things that we can do as parents? Number one, we can train a child. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Warn your kids now of the dangers that's out there. Look for signs of danger. Live a Christian life. Go to church regularly. Read the Bible daily. Read to your children daily. Set down rules. Reward your children, such as telling them they have done a good job when they've done a good job. Or even possibly give an allowance. You can afford to do so. Teach your children to work. But punish your children when they've done wrong. Or correct your children when they've done wrong. Look, what some things that they've done wrong maybe was the fact that I don't know how to do something. Maybe you told them to do something and they didn't understand or realize what needs to be done to make a mistake. Look, instead of jumping on them, sit down and teach them. Now, if they go to a store and they rob a store, and when I'm saying robbing, I'm talking about going in pickpocketing or going in and throwing stuff in their pocket, they come home with a bunch of candy, then that's what kind of punishment that the Board of Education needs to be applied to the student knowledge, amen? Don't have the all participants get a trophy mentality when it comes to your kids.
Amen.
Show them that hard work has positive results. Show them that losing is a learning process that enables them to do things better or to work harder at. Amen. Don't expect the kids to be an adult. expected an adult to be a kid. Proverbs 17:21, and the father of a fool has no joy. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and a bitterness to her that bare him. Keep your child the ways of God. Bring your child to church. Read them the Bible. Explain to them. Look, even have them when they are older or age where they can read good. Have them read and then tell you what they think that word means. What they just read. And if maybe if they're off base, correct? Look, kids are learning. Kids are seeing what you do. Kids are listening to what you say. And what you do and what you say is going to affect them for a lifetime. And I'm going to be honest. I've failed in some things this far. I have. Dawson, I'm sorry. I love you, sir. Sometimes it would be a fair excuse. Father God, I'm pretty sure. Don't train up a child, look, track their progress. Check up on your child and see how they're doing. Spend time with your children. Talk to them on a regular basis. Show them you have a love and interest in their lives. Don't let TV or video games be the babysitter. Look at their report cards. Ask them questions. See what they know. In the military, as NCOs, we had to, in the Air Force, and I imagine in the Army, this is the same thing, but we had to have a feedback session once a quarter with our troops. Now, if I got a new troop in, what I would do is bring them in, and I would set them down one-on-one, and I would tell them my expectations. I would tell them how I would grade their work and how I could help them or what I could see them improving. And then every once a quarter, I would come in and bring that person. I'd have a documented sheet of what I would document on how they're doing. And then once a year, I would have to do an enlisted performance report or an EPR. That would go towards their career and whether or not it would help them in their career or damage their career. People, that's what we need to do with our children. We need to sit down and tell them our expectations. We need to talk to them. Not quarterly, but I would talk to them every day to see how things are going. Maybe there's things they don't understand. Maybe schools are teaching them something in our public education that's heresy or is inflicted sin. My son told me a few years ago that during middle school, he went to middle school and they had gay Christ posters up in a middle school. People have a problem with that. We're paying taxes to fund this kind of mess. Train up the child, track the progress. What about teach your children? Teach your children right from wrong. Show them how to do things. Talk to your children as often as possible about what they mean. That's what they're learning in school. What about homeschool? Here. Talk to your kids. See what they're learning. I appreciate what Sister Sue, Sister Dallas, Sister Penny is doing here. I really do. Because I know they're getting a great education, but I also know they're being taught Jesus. The people, that's what's missing a lot in our public education. Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to tell you something. This is what we should be with our family. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel or a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Number one, I want us to see the place. Parents, we can be a light at home for our children. That's what kids need to see in the home of life. Prove to them that in this dark world, they still have a home. Prove to them in this dark world that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And He's the one that will see His people through the hard times. And if people, parents, if you're going through a hard time that affects your family, it might not hurt to let your kids know. You know why? That they may face that same situation in their life. And if they face that same situation in their life, they're going to know how you handle that situation. Be a light. I know this is talking about light, you know, being the kingdom of light, going out to the world, being the gospel that people see the light of Jesus in you, but we need to start with our families. We need to start with our families. Those are the closest things. So we see the place. We need to be the light to our kids. We need to show them the true light, which is Jesus Christ. And listen, people, don't be that light that shines bright. Be the light that shines bright, but not the one who flickers. You know, there's nothing more irritating than sitting there and trying to read something that light flickers. A lot of Christians are like that. One day we're bright, the next day we're flickering. On and off. We need to be a steady, bright light for our children, for our families. See the place. Not only do we see the place, we see the purpose. Show your children why it's important to speak of life. Life should be what a lost person looks for when that person is lost in the woods. Know if you're lost in the woods, what you look for? Look for a light home. Anywhere. You look for a light. You see a light. You're lost in the woods. You see a light. That's that glimmer of hope right there. People, we can be that hope that people see. You know, sometimes the only testimony that you have is people looking at your life. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in a bad situation you're facing. Amen. We can be that light. We need to be the light of the world for lost people. Be the rest of our Savior Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the place and the purpose, but lastly, I want us to see the proposition. Shine that light to your children so they will come to know Jesus. Verse 16, let your light fully shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Shine that light to your children. You want your children saved? You want them to come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You want them to live for Jesus when they get older? Be that light. Explain to them how important living the Christian life is and not to get mixed up in the things of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. It should be a difference. So what is the end goal? What is the end goal? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know this is the very first commandment that God yay for the pumps. What was that promise that it may be well with thee if thou mayest live long on the earth? Now here's the goal. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our goal, duty and obligation to take care of our parents. But as Christian parents, we have a duty and obligation to teach our children about Jesus Christ. To show our children Jesus Christ that lives in us. We have a duty and obligation to pray for salvation. Parents, if you're not doing that, your children very few times that you find that God's place. I'm not saying to forgive you, but if you're a Christian, you need to get down on your knees tonight to pray God's salvation for your children. Because I'm telling you, people, they're the priest. I heard a person say one time, well, since I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, all my family's going to heaven. That can't be part of it. People, that is. As far as on the truth that east is in the west. Better get your knees and ask God to save your children. What if they're older and they're out on their own and they're doing things that are wrong? Get your knees tonight and ask God to save them. It's not too late to be. Brother Terry called us this week. He knew a guy they have been witnessing to for years and years and years. And look, this person, they witnessed for him, and he said, I don't have nothing to do with him. I don't want anything to do with him. But you know what? They didn't give up. Mother Terry never gave up. Jesus saved this man. Because Mother Terry showed that light. That man was, what, 60 years old? Right there, 55. Never too old. Never too old. You have kids out there in the world that are going back, and I'm talking about adult children. Right there. Tell them you love them. Tell them if they don't get saved, give them a warning. Just like my dad warned me about playing in the road, we need to give them a warning that hell is real. They're going to bust hell wide open unless they repent and believe in Jesus Christ. People, don't wait for that track to travel by the phone. Once that fuck kids, it's too late to get. Warn them that. If you have little children at home, warn them now. Hell is just as real as heaven. If anybody watching on Facebook tonight, let me tell you what I talked about tonight, tattoos, body brand, piercing, body shit, that's not what's sending you to hell. You know what will send you to hell? Is rejecting the gospel, rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's not going to be any parties in hell, people. You've heard people say that, but I'll be playing cards with my friends, or there'll be one big party here. Let me tell you something like that. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Hell is going to be full of anguish, torment, and it'll be just as hot as you entered as it will be in eternity. The rich man asked that somebody would just take their claim and look, dip it in some water and touch their tongue just to cool off. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've been in some hot places in this world. I've experienced 140 degree heat at the temperature overseas. That fails very, very much when it comes to what the temperature is going to be like in hell. I've never had to ask somebody to give me a drop of water just to cool my body. I can't fast that. But there's a lot of people right now that are experiencing that in hell. There's a lot more people than going to hell. We as Christians, the ball on the water people. I feel how serious it is. But I want to give y'all the good news. Good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Jesus Christ came, he saved me. He saved you and you and you and you and you. You want to know how much Jesus Christ loves us? He suffered and bled on the cross. He experienced things, people, that nobody else in the history of mankind ever experienced. He did that. You. It took a miracle of love. I'm not the old preacher. I was sinning and running and running and sinning with God. Baby, when he reached out his hand for me, he had to reach way down. I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand to me, he reached it out for you, sir. I think fast. But I will say this. I'd rather see y'all. Y'all won't face this. Yes. Doctors and nurses. You come to know Trust me. Look, we can't get to work by our own good deeds. We've seen it time and time and time again. You've got people who are just saying, they say, well, I hope so, but what do you mean, hope so? Well, I'm a good person. The Bible says, well, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself. Just, that's not of yourself. You know what that means? We can't work our way to heaven. We cannot work our way to heaven. But thanks be to God. Not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. Not of ours. You know why we go out? You know why we testify? Because He did it all. He did it all. All every head bowed, every eye closed.